Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call. We're right at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. It's great to be with you again this evening. We have some wonderful things planned, so have your pens and paper ready so that we can talk about these principles and the impact they're having in our life. We'd like to invite anyone who's on this call tonight to make sure that you're on the webinar tomorrow evening. We're going to be introducing some of the pages of the new website, New Life Support, along with some very exciting things that we're doing with the Alcohol Recovery Support Program. A very exciting piece of what the Og Mandino Group is getting ready to release to the world to assist those who are struggling with alcohol abuse. So if you know anyone, and if you don't have any information about the registration, please call the office tomorrow at 801-294-7694. That's 801-294-7694. And we will send you the information for downloading the GoToMeeting webinar software. It only takes just a moment, and you'll be all ready to participate in that event tomorrow evening. Be a great experience. Well, it's good to be with you. It's good to be here tonight. Anybody having one of those kinds of weeks where you kind of look and go, wow, this is interesting? Last night about midnight, Ramon and I were talking about life, and we said, you know, this is such a wonderful growth experience, life, opportunity to take on challenges and learn new things and grow. Because one thing we know, and I've shared this with you before, that success is nothing more than a series of successfully executed pivotal moments, these little moments of decision. And as we make better and better decisions in those moments, we're capable of handling more and more complex situations, and we will be given them opportunities to grow. When we reach certain levels in life, and there are many, many plateaus, one thing that is consistent is each time we reach this next plateau, we have become prepared to handle whatever happens at that level. Then we grow to the next, the next, the next. This isn't making us better than. It's just a position of becoming capable of handling the financial pressure, the relationship pressures, everything that can happen as success begins to become part of your life. Well, our mission is to teach you the very principles that will assist you in becoming successful in any area of your life. With these foundational principles, you can apply them to your relationships, you can apply them to your business, and with great success, enjoy life and find joy in the journey. Now, I was on a call just a little while ago with Eileen. Eileen, are you with us this evening? Eileen, have you got on the... Good, you're with us. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Eileen and I were talking about an experience she had earlier today, and I said, oh, Eileen, you have to come on the call tonight and share this, because it was so simple in the way that it happened that it could be very easy to miss the principles that were being applied. And we had just a wonderful conversation. Eileen, would you come out tonight and share with us what happened in your workplace today?
Yes. Okay, just a little background. I'm a nurse. I work at a hospital, and when my husband had his stroke and came home from the rehab center, I took 3 months off to be with him to help us get adjusted to this situation. And then when I came back to work, my coworker had pretty much taken over everything that I had done, you know, all of my work. And so I just kind of felt shoved aside and was doing other things. I was feeling, you know, like she was so efficient that I wasn't even necessary for being there. And then just today, well, she's going through a divorce. I had talked with another friend who pointed out to me that since she is having, you know, going through this divorce, she's out of control in that situation, and she needs to feel in control and just let her have that control. So I kind of shifted my attitude toward her and the situation, and things just really blossomed. We were talking, and we had good eye contact, and she gave me a hug, and everything just felt so much better. And then she started, you know, giving me back some of the work that I had been doing before, and it just felt really, really good. That's basically it. Was there anything else?
No, I thought it was wonderful as you share this experience, because it's been a source of real frustration for several weeks.
Yes, it has.
And just wondering, what am I doing wrong, or why is she being so dominant, and this is frustrating. And if anybody out there has been in a situation like this where we're focusing on ourselves, you know, why is she doing this to me? Why is she acting like this to me? Does she not want me here? And all of a sudden we step back and we start to look at this person, and Eileen, with the help of someone, a very wise person, said, let's look. This should sound familiar for those of you who study connecting with people. Let's look at what's important to her. Sound familiar, anyone? Let's look at what's important to her. What's important to her is in her workplace, she needs to feel like she's in control. Well, the second step of intrinsic validation is verbalizing what we discover. This is a very high level of verbalizing. It's actually acting it out. It's demonstrating that we acknowledge that in her. And Eileen shared with me earlier that she just shifted, as she shared with us a moment ago. She shifted and just let go of all of that energy and let her be in control and was okay with it. So she's creating now a safe place for this person. And what happens? Her walls come down. Her cooperation, her productivity floods out. She begins to treat Eileen with respect today, returning some of the former responsibilities that she had. And the day ends with a hug. Now, that sounds like something kind of simple, but I know for Eileen, this was a very traumatic thing for the last several weeks. And a very simple principle, finding out what's important to someone and acting on it, creating a safe place. That's a door. That's a really sophisticated door, because generally thinking somebody's saying something. Well, she was saying something by her actions. Could we see the door? And Eileen saw that door. Friend helped her see it. She saw it, stepped through it, and created that safe place. And didn't even have to carry on a conversation and saw those walls come down. That is a great example of intrinsic validation. And thank you, Eileen, for sharing that with us today.
Yeah, thank you for encouraging me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we just send our prayers to Jonas, and it's a very difficult time, we know, for you right now, and we just send all our energy to you and our prayers, and just hope that you'll have the strength necessary to be sustained through this time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, this evening, we're going to talk about this joy in the journey concept that we started last week. This is a very interesting place, and I would like to do it a little differently than it is in the material. I'm going to talk about some of the things in the material, but I would like to do something very practical tonight to show us how to actually do a piece of this. You see, when we're in life, here we are, if you can just look around where you are right now, look at the surroundings, what's on the walls, the floor, the furniture, if you're outside, the setting. This is the world we live in. I am in this world. This is my world. Finding joy in the journey is an internal issue. It's my internal world. And the single most important measurement in your assessment that you're going to want to look at is called grateful. Grateful. I mentioned it briefly last week. Grateful. It's quite often orange and red. Matter of fact, about over 90% of the time it's orange or red. Because we have expectations. We want our life to be a certain way. And it's not showing up that way. And so we find ourselves in resistance and resentment. This is not where I thought I would be. This is not what's supposed to be happening by now. I thought by the time I got to this age, I would be what? Financially secure, out of debt, more successful, happier marriage, whatever it might be. for you, if you've got an orange or red measurement, you're going to ask that question. What was I expecting? What was I hoping for? Because one of the great risks is that we hold life hostage to that expectation. We want it to show up like that. Now, I've got us on participation mode, so the background is muted unless you'd like to contribute. Just press star 6 and say Dave, and I'll acknowledge that you're off mute, and you can participate. So here we are in life. Look around. Reflect on your bank account. Reflect on your relationships. Reflect on your business. Reflect on all the pieces. Especially in today's economic situation, are we where we thought we would be? Did we get our life absolutely blown apart? Oh my goodness. If our life has been blown apart, and this is not what we anticipated, and we're faced with a very interesting decision. The decision is we can spend our life in resistance. This is going to be a little bit of a review for some of you. We can spend our life in resistance, resenting what's happening, or we can totally surrender to it and just mope around and go, well, I guess this is all that's ever going to happen. Or we learn the real definition of gratitude. And gratitude is, I take what is, whatever that is, and I honor the gift and the giver of the gift by focusing all of my energy on creating the most I can with the circumstances I've been given. And at the end of the day, I express gratitude for what I was able to create in partnership with that power that governs abundance. And with the promise that the next morning I will take that and I will focus on creating the most I can with it. Now, you take two different people. You take one person on the left over here who's living in resentment and spend some of that time going into fantasy to a time when it won't be like this, because they want to have that little norepinephrine rush. They want to have that feeling of what it's going to be like when their reality is this fantasy. They want to get away from it all. And then they spend time in angst and anger and frustration and bitterness, sometimes even in rage, when it doesn't show up the way we'd like it. The person over here on the right is living in the now. This person might go into their mind to get a clear idea. What could I create? How could I create it? How would this serve? And they get a clear idea of what they're going to do with what they've been given. What's possible? Ah, that's possible. Well, that may not be as spectacular as the fantasy they once entertained, but it's possible. And so they take this which they've been given, and they begin the process of making the most out of what they have. That's what's real. And then they do it again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And all of a sudden, they are living their vision, their dream. And what do they do? As Og says, as soon as I've achieved this, I just simply raise it. And they continue that process. They live a life in gratitude, grateful for the gift, but honoring the giver by making the most they can out of it. This is a great lesson. Now, from a practical standpoint, there are things that we'll want to focus on. It is interesting to me that almost everyone, expects something to just happen. We just expect it to happen. If we go to enough meetings, we'll lose weight at Weight Watchers. If we show up to enough network marketing meetings, we'll build a downline. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Attending meetings does nothing more than help instruct us to learn how to go do what needs to be done. That's the purpose of a meeting. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, we have to cut the celery. I want to go through this process. I've shared it with some of you. I want us to examine it tonight together. And as I walk through these pieces, I'm going to ask you, if you will please come off of mute and stop me at any time that it's not making sense, so that we can thoroughly understand tonight, leave tonight, with a clearer understanding of how things are actually created in tangible reality. I'm going to use an example. Now, some of you are in all kinds of different businesses. There are a significant number of you who happen to be in a direct sales business. And I'm going to ask if everyone would allow me to use a direct selling example to make this point tonight. Because the principle I'm going to share applies to the creation of anything. Something you want to build in your yard, something you want to create in your relationship. But if I may have your permission, I would like to do that, to use a direct selling or even network marketing kind of an example. Because the principles aren't network marketing, they're the principles of creation. So with that understanding, I'd like us to walk into a business where we must invite people to participate. This is true of so many things in our lives. We enroll people in a vision. It might be our own children, to get them to participate in an event once a week where we all meet and do something together. Might be that. In this case, here we are on Tuesday night. Our thought process is going to be about a meeting that is occurring on Saturday morning, just for an example. It's going to be a meeting at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and right now in Utah, it's a quarter after 7 on a Tuesday night. We have spent the last several days inviting people to attend that meeting on Saturday. Let's say, for an example, that you have been courageous and you have committed 10 people to be in that meeting. This could be 10 people that come to a non-profit fundraising gala. It could be anything you're involved in. But this case is just a meeting on Saturday. We've called these people. They've committed to be there. One of the great risks, if I were to say to someone, tell me about the Saturday and those people, and they might say, someone might say, I have 10 people coming. I have 10 people coming. I want you to know that that phrase is fantasy. That is not intentional creation. Because the only people who are going to come are those who actually show up. You may want to write that down. The only people who are going to come are the people who actually show up. And the chances of them showing up will be in direct proportion to what we create between right now at 7:15 on a Saturday, excuse me, a Tuesday evening, and that Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. The percentage of those people who actually show up is in direct proportion to what we create between right now at 7:15 and at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. What do you mean, David? We have a tendency when we're talking to people about anything, our children, inviting people to an organization, to a direct response, direct selling meeting, whatever it might be, we have had a conversation with a person. We have to be very careful to examine what is in reality. The reality is we may have had between a 10-minute and 20-minute conversation. That's it. Now, since then, we've had a conversation with ourselves about them, sometimes for hours. We have thought of little else than the 10 people who are coming on Saturday, and how many of them will enroll in our business, and how many of them will bring more people the next week, and how much money that could start generating and how close that will get me to some pin level or an advancement in my business or admiration for those I've brought to the gala event or whatever else we can apply this to. We begin to think beyond the event. Well, we have been nothing more than a pimple in the life of that person. A pimple in the life of that person. I want you to see what I mean. I want you to let go of all the conversation you've had about what that person's going to do and view the entire perspective from their side of the equation. Last night, they received a phone call from you. For 10 to 20 minutes, you had a conversation with them, which ended in a commitment to come to the Saturday morning meeting. They had not thought about you before the call, and there's a 99.9% chance they have not thought of you since. There's a high probability that if they have a relationship and they got off the phone and their companion said, "What was that all about?" And they said, "It's about a meeting I'm going to go to Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And their companion says, "That's when we're supposed to be working at the church fair. Or that's when we're supposed to be going to visit Aunt Alice. Or that's when the christening for so-and-so is going to be happening." And they've gone, "Oh, that's right, I almost forgot." And they are not coming. But yet, all of the while, since we've hung up that telephone, we have been thinking of little else than them showing up. And we've already begun to assign to them behavior of how they're going to act or react when they get there. And they've already decided not to show up. We are simply a pimple in their life. The question we're going to want to ask is, what could I intentionally create between now and Saturday morning to establish a relationship that would warrant the sacrifice necessary to actually be in the room at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning? What could I intentionally create? Because everything between 7, now it is 22 on Tuesday night, and Saturday morning at 10 is in the future. It hasn't happened yet. We are still in the future. We just haven't gone beyond the event. Can you feel this? We're still in the future. And so we sit back and we begin to ponder. And we mentally rehearse. Remember this discussion? We begin to mentally rehearse. And we get this impression. And we reflect on this thought. It just comes to our mind. You know, the three great fears that someone has to overcome to show up to this meeting is, one, they've never been to this place before. Two, they've never met me before. Three, they're coming to hear something they've never heard before. Those three elements of fear and alone are enough to keep over 50% of those people from keeping their commitment. It's not that they don't honor commitments. It's just that their fear keeps them from doing things, just like it keeps you from doing things. Procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear. So we get this idea, and we send them an email with our picture, a picture of the facility, and a map for how to get there. Tell them we're looking forward to seeing them Saturday morning. If they've already planned to do otherwise, they may call us and let us know. If not, there's another touch. Now we're two pimples. The next night, we are mentally rehearsing. We're enjoying this journey. We're in creation, not fantasy. We are living present in the now. We are in our mind getting clear direction of what we could do to bless this life. Now, all of a sudden, we get this impression that we ought to send them an email with a picture of the presenter. And with this question. Here's the picture, here's a bio. Question. Brief bio. If you could ask this person any question at all, what would you ask? Now, if they respond, now you get to respond. They say, well, I'd like to ask them this. And you get to write back, I will make sure there is time set aside for you to ask that question. How fun is that? Now, the next night, now it's Thursday night, and you start to think about them, and all of a sudden you get this really strong impression. Oh my goodness, when I was talking to this gentleman, I could hear young children in the background. I talked to him a little bit about his wife, but all of a sudden you see this vision of waking up Saturday morning, and you see the wife saying to the husband, this has been an awful week. This has been so difficult. Could we just spend the day together? And he says, sure, sweetheart. And then you think, what could I do to encourage her to support him? And we start to ponder. We get an idea. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? This is where we spend our vivid visualization. There is absolutely no benefit at all to be spending it somewhere in the future when we're rich and what it'll be like then. We just get to have a norepinephrine rush that gets followed by an autonomic response of cortisol and fear dendrites that leave us depressed. Instead of going there, we are focusing on these issues, and we get this impression. We call them, say, hi, just checking in with you. I've been thinking about your wife and your children. How's your week going so far? Oh, it's been a tough week. What's the possibility that Saturday morning she's just going to want you to hang out with her? You know, it's possible. What could I do to serve her so she would feel comfortable in supporting you? And you brainstorm a solution. Some of you in the direct selling business have products that would be perfect. I know some of you have got a galvanic spa or something. You go do a treatment for her that afternoon as a thank you. Be creative. This is where things are created. They are created in the now, focused on a very specific task, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, doing everything in my power, everything I can do, in partnership with a power greater than myself, to get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that I can act on, that will create the relationship, that will build the bridge, that will cause the person to show up. That's all I'm focused on. This is Peter Vidmar. 12 years, 4 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, preparing for one single event. The men's all around, last exercise, parallel bars. Performs well. Men's team gets the gold and beats the Republic of China for the first time since 1905. That's where we want to be. Because everything I said a moment ago between where we are and there is still in the future. And we're using our mind to get clear about what we can intentionally create between here and there. And every time we get an inspired idea, it ignites our passion and drives our focus, discipline, effort, and action to do the tough things. How many people have invited someone to attend something and then hesitated to call them back for fear they might back out? I want you to hear the ridiculousness in that concept. Because they're not going to show up anyway if they would back up when you call them. You're going to feel like they're using the call as an excuse. No, they would have used something else as an excuse. Your job is to intentionally create a bridge. And with that bridge, as Og says, so that my love may enter their soul. And then they show up. This some wild affirmation. Now, affirmations are important. You look at the characteristics of empathetic. I am empathetic. I can see the uniqueness and pricelessness in individuals. That's important. I'm passionate. I will take on the details and complexities in a task. I will suffer for things that I love. These are great characteristics and great affirmations. The affirmations do not replace the process I just gave you. This is what we do after the affirmation. The affirmation does not create the reality. What does is intentionally using your mind constructively, targeted on a very specific vision, doing everything in your power in the millimeters between here and there to intentionally create that event. And you'll know this. Whatever happens, it will be as good as it possibly could have been. Now imagine this idea of gratitude. We wake up in the morning and we look at what we've got. And one of those things is 10 people who've committed to be to a meeting. Well, we're looking at our fantasies and going, but I don't have a Learjet. Well, you have 10 people who committed to come to a meeting. Could you take that gift and honor the giver by creating the most you can with what you've been given? Keeping your eye on the ball, on the piece that matters, the one that will build the next brick in the foundation of your creation. Then we get to Saturday morning, and we'll have a pretty good idea who's coming. And we'll know if they're not, why they're not. And we may have a few that are kind of in that nebulous world. We don't know. We did the best we could to do. We've done all that we could do to encourage them and to support them and inspire them, inspire to breathe life into them, support them. That doesn't mean carry them. That's just a bridge they could cross over. And the courage, that means to awaken in the God within them. That's what we've done to them. And whoever shows up, we serve. We serve them because we can with confidence. Now, consider the juxtaposition, just the opposite of that. 10 are coming. We spend the week, all of that time, thinking about what's going to happen when they get there and what's going to happen as a result. And we walk in and one of them shows up. One. There's a very good chance that our mind will go into that amygdala hijack. Because there's no way that that one person could ever buy enough of anything to satisfy the fantasy we've created about the 10. And there's a very good chance we won't show up to serve the one. They're not going to get our best self. What a tragedy. So if you want to intentionally create, pick an event. You might want to do this in the next week where you pick one that's close. And you begin the process of creation. Now, in this program, this quality called Finding Joy in the Journey, we know that we're going to have some curveballs thrown at us. Life just does that. Og in Scroll 10 even welcomes them. I'm saying, what are you doing, Og? Why are you welcoming obstacles? Because Og knows we're going to get them anyway. We might as well embrace them instead of fight them and resist them, because the longer we fight, resist, and are angry about what's happening, the longer it takes to resolve it. If we just embrace it, okay, the car broke down. Let's deal with the car broken down. Okay, the computer just crashed. Now, if you've ever had a computer crash and you lost a hard drive and it had some really important stuff on that, you and I can both laugh that this is really fun to talk about, but it doesn't always feel this way in the moment. But the longer we can do something about this, the intentional creation book, the manuscript, the 380-page manuscript, was written twice. Very few people know, I believe, I don't think I put this in the program, that for the first year and a half or so, I was writing on the book. I was doing so on a laptop, and every computer system in our office is backed up except for that laptop. It never occurred to me to back it up. And one day, the hard drive was fried, and I mean so fried, we sent it to a local place. All of the writing was on there. To a local place, and we sent it to Washington, D.C., to a crime lab, for heaven's sake, to try to figure out how to save it. They couldn't pull anything off of it. That had to be rewritten. Fortunately, it was in the diary. Opened the diary back up, rewrote it. I'm convinced it's better the second time than it was the first, but it was painful in that moment. But I remember that moment in time saying, I can sit here and be angry that it doesn't exist. I can say that it's not fair. I can curse God. I can do all kinds of things, but nothing is going to change it except for putting my fingers on that keyboard and beginning again. That's all that will change it. And so for the next year, from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 days a week, bam, 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 bam. That book was intentionally created as we're teaching the very principles we're talking about tonight. Whatever you're facing, there are moments when we will feel sorrow that is so painful. I won't go through and discuss the prophet Gehiel Gebron that's in the book. What he talks about is not the lute that you're playing carved out by the knife. It's not the cup that you're drinking fired in the fire. When joy sits at your table, is not sorrow sleeping on your bed, waiting. Oh my goodness. There's something beautiful about this concept that we experience joy only to the extent our soul has been harrowed out by sorrow. We feel so acutely the joy because of the extent of the sorrow. We'd never want to rob ourselves of that. Besides that, it's not an option unless you want to self-medicate. It's not an option. It's just what is. So let us this week look at this joy in the journey. We've talked about intrinsic validation and connecting with people. We've talked about using our mind constructively and quality two, goals and expectations. We've talked about being present and now, taking action and power sessions and completing tasks. Being disciplined and structured, letting go of resistance and rebellion, and discipline and structure. And now we're finding joy in the journey. It requires that we take what we have, the gift, honor the giver, by creating the most we can with what we've been given. And sometimes what we're given in a day is so painful and so difficult. But no matter what our pain is, if we are in the process serving others, we will find others who are suffering greater than we. Eileen's on the phone. Her husband had a stroke. I know somewhat of what she's going through. To just get through the day while working to support the family. Oh my goodness. I'll take my problems. Eileen, I would never want to trade places with you. Love you and support you and admire your courage. There's another lady on the phone here tonight who's gone through hell for the last few weeks and months, who's finally finding peace. Oh my goodness. Let us honor the gift. Let us honor the giver. Let us know there will be joy and there will be sorrow. let us know that remuneration, money, and recognition are in direct relationship to the effort in which we put into something. Let us just know that. Let us know the grass is never greener on the other side. It's just that from the distance you can't see the potholes and the worms and the mosquitoes and the weeds. You just can't see it till you get there. And the truth of the matter is most people are over on the other side looking at our grass wanting what we've got. Let us start to be in the moment, in the now, with whatever we've been given. We may not like it, but if we keep resisting it, we will never have the power to change it. Do what you can. My promise to you is as you do honor the gift and the giver of the gift, that you will find miracles come into your life that actually speed up creation. You'll be endowed with more ability if you fully use what you've got. There will be people put on your path who can serve you and who you can serve if you do this. So let's take a big, deep breath and just look at our circumstances, no matter what they are. This is what is. And let us make the determination tonight to take it, embrace it. We don't have to like it. Embrace it. And then create the most we can with what we have. Wherever you are in any business, any relationship, this is the way intentional creation works. Anything short of this is fantasy that creates resentment and anger and even rage. Wow. Tough pill to swallow sometimes if we have had a habit of fantasy, of creating expectations. If we've had a different financial situation where we could fund fantasy with credit, now is the day when we have to have, not have to, we'll want to have a business that generates real money to pay real bills at whatever level that can happen. It's actually a wonderful time in history. What is going on is forcing us to be real. It's forcing us to get back to basics. It is challenging us and inviting us to finally find a joy in the journey. Well, we have about 15 or 16 minutes. I'd like to open this up. I know a number of you have been having experiences and you get that pounding heart. Just press *6. That will take you off of mute. And just say, hi, Dave, and I'll acknowledge you. We'd like to open this up for you to share what's happening in your life. And if you're having any challenges, let's talk about those too. Let's just bless everybody who's on the phone tonight by sharing for a few minutes. Who would like to come out first? I should say second. Eileen was first. So who'd like to come out next? Hi, Alexandra.
I just took off speaker. I didn't hear anybody else pop up, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to just validate the brilliance of your message. And where it comes from, it's so clear that this message originates from the power that governs abundance, from our heart that is alive, it's present in every one of us. And sometimes it gets very, very dark and we can't see it. used the example yesterday of just a simple example of the hose and spraying water onto a flower garden or something. When it's filled with debris and sand and dirt, the water barely trickles out. And my God, I was so filled with debris and just darkness because of the result of playing the when and then game. As educated as I am, as committed as I've been for 35 plus years to my personal and spiritual growth, as not necessarily being smug about my awareness, but I can actually say that this was a pretty amazing gift, this pain that happened in my life. And I know you were going to chuckle when I said that.
It wasn't funny. That was a cathartic ouch.
I know. And all I can say, too, for those, my brothers and sisters on the phone listening to this call, this too shall pass, like Og Mandino says. I read those three scrolls morning, noon, and night, and they are definitely have changed and continue to change my life. I will greet this day. I will live this day as if it is my last. I will act now at noontime and at nighttime. I will laugh at the day. This too shall pass. God, it's hard to see sometime, but we just have to keep on keeping on. Keep on. And it's funny, I'm looking at a little sign on my window. It says, "Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help, so have a good day." Oh, gosh, I can laugh. I feel such joy in my life, and I definitely am creating miracles in my life with the help of that power that governs abundance. And I will forever be grateful for you in my life. Absolutely. So I just share this with the listeners to know that this too will pass, and it will be a gift. You'll look back on it as a gift. I think I could almost guarantee that at some point, and who knows when that will be. So thank you for letting me share. I love to share my joy.
I want to have you take us one place, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander, oh, by the way, I was speaking to a group in Canada last night, and I ended my presentation with, "God does not drive parked cars."
Isn't that great?
And then I gave you attribution, because many of them knew you. Does anybody know Alexandra? So that's where I got that from. She attended a church service down in Los Angeles, and the pastor ended his sermon with that. I just love it. God does not drive parked cars. The question is this. I remember a day when it was so dark for you that had somebody said that, what you just said, they would have gone, "Yeah, right."
Yeah, give me a break, lady.
Give me a break.
Yeah, uh-huh. Pipe dreams. Boy, you got to just go dig deep for trust. And you know, for me, nature is the biggest teacher for me. Because, you know what, we're in Idaho now, and we just trust that this amazing miracle is going to happen. Actually, it's happening right now, where these bleeding heart shrubs surface from the earth with this amazing, intricate design of a heart hanging from it. Nature doesn't make any mistakes, and we're part of that. We're that vehicle. We're the venue in which that powerful force comes through. We're that tributary, you know. And God, if we can just be open, and just for a moment, little brief moments of a breath, and saying, "Oh, maybe there's some truth in that. Oh God, could I just have an ounce of faith and trust?" "Oh, no, I'm not going to. I can't possibly." Just if that little window, that little breath of breeze comes through,
it really will get better. It does get better. And the powerful thing about it is that we get to determine it with our choice, our conscious choice of saying, not going there today. And boy, is it about that is empowerment. When we can control our thoughts, we are a master. When we say, I'm not going there today, even though this negativity is pulsing, ready to take over, not going there today. Wow. Whew.
I love you, Dave Blanchard. You're just such an awesome being on the planet. God, I did something right to be living in this lifetime with you.
Well, you give Gene a big hug for us tonight, too.
Oh, I'll be so happy to. So happy.
Well, I want to end your discussion with this. For anyone who's on the phone, who is in their dark night, there are dark nights, and there are dark nights in Alexandra. Truly, truly experienced one of huge magnitude. So she knows of what she speaks. And there was a day when it would have been very hard for her to hear this. And thank you for pleading with those who are there to just trust this. These thought processes, these principles were born out of that dark, dark night when everything has been lost. Everything has been lost materialistically in my life. Everything. Now, someone would say, well, you still had your wife and family. I'd say, yes, but at that point, my money was more important than my family. Isn't that tragic? Oh, what a great lesson. Proud heart had to be cut out with that dull knife. It's all relative for us. It could be a health issue. It could be a relationship issue. It could be a job issue. It could be a mortgage on a home. It's all of us have got something. But what Alexandra has just shared with us is so beautiful, to have just an ounce of trust, just an ounce of faith. Just try the principle. Just try it. Because as long as we keep in resistance and frustration and wallowing in our sorrow, the longer it's going to take for us to actually create a different outcome. We step out of that place, and Alexandra, does God meet you halfway?
Oh, more than halfway. Oh, my God, the doors open one after another. And like you said, you walk through one, and God will open another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. It's like, whoa, this is awesome. God exists right here in me, you know?
Wonderful.
It's so fun to be in partnership with that power and just surrender to it. Just surrender to it. Wow. Guide me. Just guide me. I'm yours. Use me.
Yeah. Thank you so very much for sharing tonight.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you for letting me, giving
Welcome.
Me the space.
Did Alexandra prompt anything that anyone else would like to share tonight? Anyone's heart pounding out there? We just have just a few more moments.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi. This is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
And I am one of the lucky, fortunate ones who have the scholarship, which I thank you for very much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And I have something I would like to share. In regards to doors opening, I have a 2-year-old daughter who, when she was born with a birthmark on her face. And here in Idaho, there was no one who they would take her case. We didn't know she had it until she was born. And so it was hard for me as the mother. I wondered if I had done something wrong, if I had hurt her. And so in looking for some help, some doctor or someone who could even begin to tell us what she needed, it was a long and emotional search. because we started in Idaho. We had checked with some doctors down in San Diego, some up in Portland, and I felt as if every door had been shut. And so, middle of all of this, I got a referral, and I emailed a doctor in Salt Lake who was a friend of a friend, and they said, just ask her, see what she suggests. So I sent some pictures of my daughter, and I gave her the situation, and I said, do you know anyone? Do you have any recommendations? And right off the bat, she gave me an email back that gave me a doctor there at Primary Children's in Salt Lake who specialized in pediatric reconstructive surgery. And then I had some different things going on. We set up an appointment. We went and saw him, Natalia. He explained what would need to happen for her, and it was quite an extensive process. But because of the type of birthmark, it was at high risk for turning cancerous. So we needed her body to be bigger, but they also had to watch it so that in case it did start to have abnormal growth, they would have to act sooner. In the course of this, they had decided to do he said, you know, we'll probably need to do a biopsy just to make sure. And at the time, this was my husband and I were both self-employed. We didn't have, you know, medical benefits or things like that. So trying to find some options with insurance and whatnot, it was, looking like it was going to be quite an expensive thing for her. So in the middle of all of this, some things happened out of state, very intense emotional things for me where I had to leave and help out with some situations, some heavy duty stuff. And in the middle of all of that, when I felt like, dear God, is there anything more that can dump on me? Because I don't think I can handle much more. I met someone who had a friend, and we were just talking. They were talking about a children's hospital in Dallas, Texas. And through the course of that, I just mentioned how great it is to have programs and whatnot for different situations for families. And he asked if I had children and whatnot, and I told him, and I said, yeah, and told him what we were going through with Natalia. And he said, you know, I have a friend who might be able to help you. And through that contact, through a matter of like three different phone calls, he said, when you get back home, send me a picture of your daughter, send me a letter of what they need to do for her. And I, you know, at this point in time, all the doors for insurance help had been, they almost all but shut. So I did. I got back home and I sent it, and I really didn't think much would happen from it. I thought it was very kind of him to offer, at least. And so about 2 days later, I got a phone call from this nicest lady, and she said, I have your daughter's referral here, and I'm calling, and it was the Shriners down in Galveston, Texas. And they said, you know, we have this, and we'd like to go ahead and get her booked. Where will you be coming from? And I said, well, we live just outside of Boise, Idaho, so we'll be coming from up here. And she said, oh, my goodness, that's so far to go. Let me see if I can find any other options for you. And I said, no, we'll come down there if that's what it takes. And she said, well, let me see what I can do. And then a couple days later, I got another phone call from the Shriners in Salt Lake. And it was kind of the same thing. This lady said, I have your daughter's information here. We want to go ahead and get her booked for this, get her started. And I was so shocked and so amazed, but the really big concern that I had was, how good would the doctors be? And even if we could have financial help, it was still so important to me that we had the finest hands that we could possibly get to work on Natalia. And I said, okay, I'd like to kind of do some research on the doctor. And she said, well, the plastics department will give you a call. We'll go ahead and get you set up for this time. And I said, all right. And then the coordinator for the plastics department, the plastic surgery department, called me. And she said, okay, my name is Lindsay, and I'm here to help you get this figured out. And she said, now, let me see. And she was looking over the file that we had faxed over from Natalia's original visit with Dr. Siddiqui at Premier Children's. And she said, let me just flip through the papers here and see when we can get her in for her initial assessment. And she stopped mid-sentence and she said, oh my gosh, well, she's already seen the surgeon who will be handling her case. He donates 2 days a month here through the Shriners. And within 6 weeks of that very first phone call, Natalia was on the operating table at Shriners for her biopsy.
With the same doctor.
Yes, with the same hands that we would have gone across the nation for. So I know miracles happen.
And sometimes they don't look like miracles until after they've happened, huh?
Yes, that is so true. So thank you.
Miracles are miracles in retrospect. Had the privilege of having you in our home. How are things going with Margaret? Are you
at home with Margaret?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Things are going well with her. Yes, thank you. We're still brainstorming.
I'm going to be meeting with her tomorrow. Margaret, for those who are listening, is my agent with Margaret McBride Agency, and I'll see her tomorrow, and I'll ask her and report back to you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing. And what a great story to share after Alexandra's story, that there is a power greater than us. When we surrender to and we do all that we can do, that power steps in and participates with us in that process. Now, next week, we're going to take on the mother load. We are going to take on self-esteem. We're going to talk about what causes challenges to self-esteem. We're going to talk about the objectives of what we want to accomplish and how to heal it. How can we get self-esteem to improve? What are the steps? Now, if you all could go into that section, unless you're working with a coach, you want to stay with your coach and what you're doing, and I'll just give you an overview next week in preparation for when you're working with your coach. We want to walk through these pieces because after we've done all of the other five qualities, we've saved this for last. Because much of what we've done is, in fact, the cure for a challenged self-esteem. So let's have some fun next week taking this piece on, and then we're going to start all over again with the qualities and go just a little deeper and a little deeper throughout the year. Thank you all for sharing. Rebecca, thank you. Alexandra, thank you. Eileen, thank you. We have been taught well by your examples and by your faith. And by your courage. Everybody have a great week. Self-esteem next week. We're out of time for the night. I just felt impressed. Is there anyone that needs to say anything before we wrap up this session? Okay, just wanted to make sure. Well, everybody have this the best week of your life, taking on this intentional creation in the millimeters. Let us live here. Let us use our mind. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Between now and the event that's in the future, let us stay on those millimeters, getting inspired ideas, passion-driven action, driving our focus, discipline, effort, and action, and intentionally creating, in partnership with that power that governs abundance, the very best outcomes possible. That's how marvelous things are created. May we begin that process this week. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.